this evening as we come towards the end of ordinary time and prepare ourselves to move into a new liturgical year, we hear the story, the familiar parable of the talents. And I think it's very easy. We kind of associate this, I think more often than not, with kind of reflection on how we use our talents in our own sense of the gifts that we have and the ways that we exercise those. Of course, in our gospel, talent refers to a weight, a measure of wealth. So a talent of gold, a talent of silver, as opposed to just the particular gifts that we have. And I think, as I sat with the gospel reading this year, I think there's things that this says to us that perhaps requires us to step back from that idea of what we normally associate with this particular parable. I think, to be honest, and as I have preached on it before, we do often think about this of how do we use our gifts, how do we invest in something that brings increase. So not just our own gifts or associating it with that, but the sense that the parable is calling us to bring increase to what it is that we've been given. And we hear from the gospel that two of the servants went off and took what was given to them, and they brought about increase, and they were praised for that. And I think it's very easy for us to focus on that, and then all of a sudden we come to this place of the third servant, and the third servant has a conversation with the master, which if we really step back, we can have some sympathy or empathy with. And he says, you know, I know you're a hard man. And you take things that you didn't gather on your own. And so out of fear, I just went and buried it in the ground. And here is back what it is that you gave me. He didn't do anything that stole. He just gave back what was given to him. And if we stop and think about it, I think we can understand. And I think that opens up perhaps a new way of listening to this parable. Because I think particularly in the gospel, the version of the parable that we have this year, I think the bigger issue is not about increase. The bigger issue has to do with the servant not imitating the master. And so the master says to him, so you knew that I did this, that I behave in this particular way. So why did you not do what I do? And that, I think, is really the challenge to us in the scripture. We need not operate out of fear. We are called to listen and to understand what it is that the Lord does and what he chooses to invest in. And then model our lives after that. And the first two servants did exactly what the master does. The last one, even though he's trying to be obedient, never allowed himself to imitate the master. And it's because of that that he's condemned. Not that he didn't make money, but because he didn't follow the example of the master. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and it kind of surprises me, because I've been ordained over 20 years now, and I've preached on this gospel a few times. But I've never really thought about the first reading being associated with this gospel. The first reading, of course, has to do with the person that and his gratitude for his wife and what it is that the wife does. And I've just never thought about it in relationship to this reading. And certainly The reading for us may speak of cultural assumptions that we don't necessarily share or understand anymore, but I think it's worth listening to that reading in relationship with the gospel, because it's changed for myself how I hear this. And the first part is that the woman and the man are brought together in a mutuality, a companionship, that they work together to bring about the good. And that the wife brings about the good in relationship with her husband. Secondly, she does the work that she does out of love and generosity. Third, she freely gives to the poor and the needy and pours out for others. And finally, she's a woman who fears the Lord. And all of those are oriented towards the other. All of them are focused in on the good of the other. The value she finds in labor, the good that she finds in the love that she shares with her husband, something that's rooted in not being wrapped up in ourselves, but being wrapped up in the other person. To fear the Lord, to give generously, to love, to find companionship, to do the things that I do with love, joy, freedom, and thanksgiving. And that is the way that we imitate the Father. That is the way that we bring about increase. That is the way in which we bring about the kingdom in the world in which we live twofold, fourfold, fivefold to build the kingdom of God. If we hear those words in that way, then I think really the invitation at the end of this liturgical year as we look forward to the end of time and also where it is that we're going, that gives us a particular direction. That as a Christian people, if we're about looking towards where it is that we're called, who it is we belong to, and our final destination, that leads us ultimately not to something here, but to look out to the needs of other people and to respond to those needs in compassion and charity. And to put it very simply, I think that if we approach our own final destination thinking less about ourselves, but worrying about helping other people to get to heaven, then we will not have to worry about where we're going. I'll say that again. If we worry more about helping other people to get to heaven, then we do not have to worry about where it is that we're going. Amen.